I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
Falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were
involved.
He said
you were racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he worked.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he worked for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Tuesday, September 13th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is indeed a wild and dystopic ride. There are graphics floating around on social media. How wild and dystopic. There's one graphic that floats around on social media. The longer I remain unjabbed, the more evidence I see supporting my decision. The Gateway Pundit has an article out yesterday titled Ethically Unjustifiable, Scientists from Harvard and Johns Hopkins, which is ironic, I would say, found COVID-19 vaccines 98 times worse than the virus. You know, you read all these stories about the virus killing more people than the vaccines killing more people than the virus now. And I'm wondering, you know, those pictures that we saw early on that were coming out of China, people allegedly falling over because of what we were told and led to believe was COVID. Maybe it was the vaccines, because we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen people at sporting events and things, you know, athletes at sporting events just fall over dead. We've seen that. So the Gateway Pundit article is a sort of repackaging of the Epoch Times article titled The Unethical and Up to 98 Times Worse Than the Disease, Top Scientists Published Paradigm-Shifting Study About COVID-19 Vaccines, which this really just gets into the cognitive dissonance, really what I would call schizophrenia, and this Bateson double bind that has people incapable of dealing with, acknowledging and dealing with reality. So here we are. How does this happen? You know, when we look at stories like this, I don't know about you, but I think of, for example, the SPARS. scenario planning nonsense. Speaking of Johns Hopkins, from the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, sparse pandemic, a futuristic scenario for public health risk communicators. And you can still download it to this day. And as I mentioned recently, this scenario planning, this war gaming, all of these think tanks and academic institutions engage in this thing called scenario planning. That, you know, if you listen to Dr. Strangelove, Herman Kahn, and his Hudson Institute, scenario planning is just another name for wargaming. This is where the idea comes from. How can we shape the future or seed the future and reality with kind of the germ of what we want to see happen? This is how you do it. You start shaping people's thoughts and the kind of the direction of discussion and things with these kinds of things. Dr. Strangelove. Remember Peter Sellers' portrayal of Dr. Strangelove, Herman Kahn? It was probably far more accurate than most people realize. In the SPARS scenario planning documents, the SPARS pandemic, 2025 to 2028, a futuristic scenario for public health risk communicators. As I mentioned recently, chapter 17 is literally titled Vaccine Injury. And so they plan for that and mention a popular science blogger, Epigirl, for example, began posting interactive maps of the incidence of Corovax side effects in April 2027. Using Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and combine them with data downloaded from HHS Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, a national vaccine safety surveillance program maintained by the CDC and FDA. Epigirl was also encouraged those among her subscribers who were Apple product users to share health data via her Apple Research Kit and Health Kit applications. The federal government became concerned about the validity of Epigirl's anecdotal data and the widespread sharing of patient information via the internet. Epigirl's data showed a significantly higher incidence rate of nearly every reported side effect. However, federal officials believed that this was largely due to duplicate entries resulting, etc., etc. While the federal government appeared to have appropriately addressed concerns around the acute side effects of Corovax, the long-term chronic effects of the vaccine were still largely unknown. Etc., etc., etc. Despite relatively few reports of neurological symptoms, the social media response was immense. After experiencing initial success with PREP Act compensation policies, again, who are the PREP Act folks? And working diligently to ensure transparency throughout this the claim request and evaluation process, HHS was caught off guard by the new round of negative publicity. In addition to demands for immediate compensation, Congress faced public pressure to increase the PREP Act emergency appropriation. While the initial allocation of funds was... And so, you know, then there's a communication dilemma, food for thought, how might advanced development and testing recovery messages that specifically address the topics of adverse side effects and the NVICTF help improve health authorities' ability to respond, et cetera, et cetera. Preparing for vaccine injury. This is not unforeseen either. And it is within the realm, I would say, of the intended collateral damage. You know, we played the clip of um, from Corporation, the documentary. You can still find it over at archive.org, the Internet Archive. So we played the interview with Joel Bakken and him talking about how, you know, using the example of, I believe it was Chevy, talking about how corporations incorporate into their financial model these kinds of things. You know, the Ford Pinto was the example that was raised, and he said, actually, in my book, I mention the example that he raised, and that this actually happens. It's part of the financial model to determine whether it's more economically viable to compensate victims or families of if an automobile explodes. How much does that cost versus, you know, how much does it cost to redesign and remanufacture the automobile? Well, it's more cost effective to compensate potential victims. So let's just do that. And we live in an age where this kind of psychopathy and limited liability is becoming the norm. It's the corporate way. And then there's all of this social conditioning, essentially. Sensitivity training is what it's called sometimes. But we're being conditioned to behave in a very psychopathic sort of way. So Neil Postman talked about this, you know, the meaninglessness that technology is sort of leading us into, this idea that accidental history, you know, he used to say, I think it was Socrates who has been quoted, it's kind of a paraphrase, but, you know, the unexamined life is not worth living. And I think we could kind of combine what Postman said with that and say that the accidental life is not worth living. And he told us, he reminded us that technology can't answer the difficult questions of life. He used to say that, you know, you ask technology the questions that historically have been answered by religion, for example. Religion gives us a nice structure for life, answers important questions. You ask science and technology, where did I come from? I don't know, it's probably an accident. How's it all going to end? I don't know, probably an accident. And everything in between is an accident. So the accidental life is not worth living either. Which is why I think so many people are upset. There's a video that was published a few days ago and Austin Fletcher, Fleckus Talks, his YouTube channel, Mind Blowing, Our Youth Knows Nothing. These kids are asked some basic questions. Well, maybe we could play a little bit of this. And you think, my goodness, what's wrong with these kids? But I don't think it's just that simple. We can play a few seconds of this. There's some language that we don't want on radio, but that's a few seconds. We can do a few seconds. There's some stuff in the middle too, maybe. The video is titled Mind Blowing, Our Youth Knows Nothing. And we're also sort of leaning into all kinds of other weird things. Androgyny, for example. Several of the people, including the first lady, that's asked, you know, Justin Awad is asking the questions. Austin Fletcher published it on his channel, Fleckus Talks. But first young lady looks androgynous. Some of the others do too. So, but that's the way that culture is going. You also have people dressing up in life, like going to work as their, I don't know, favorite anime character, which is also very strange. Emulating these things that are not real, cartoons and so forth. I think it's a symptom of a much bigger problem. I don't think it's just people behaving bizarrely. I think there's something going on. So I'm going to say, wait, not so fast. But can we play just a little bit of that video? Just a little bit. First 45 seconds. Maybe. Maybe we'll come back to that.
She's the Queen of England from originally.
I definitely don't know.
No, give me your best guess. I guess a country.
What is a country again?
Give me a guess.
This is embarrassing. What is a country? What is a country? What is a country? Canada.
Yes. Do you know what time this is?
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. 2:45.
Yes. Do you know what country the Great Wall of China is in?
Country?
Yeah. If you had to guess.
Japanese.
Okay. Yes. Do you know what the third month of...
We got to stop it. Yeah. Language alert. So we're going to stop it there. But he asked the next young lady, do you know what the third month of each year is? And she says, that's a leap year or some, you know, something or other. And then he starts asking, you know, these are standard questions that he asks a few folks. You know, what's 15% of 100, for example? And just questions like this. What country did we gain our independence from? What country the Panama Canal is in, Great Wall of China is in, obviously, and these kinds of things. So people will say these kids are just dumb. And I would say, well, first of all, is it a setup? I don't know. The number 33 is interesting. Why use that in your... what is 33 divided by 3? Why choose that? That's interesting. So is it a setup? I don't know. Are the kids just nervous? Maybe. You know, that can certainly account for some of it, I'm sure. In any case, I would say, wait, not so fast. Are these all perhaps victims of what could be considered at best trauma-based conditioning? And there's a lot of this going on in ways that we don't realize. I'm not sure I want to skip ahead, but trauma-based conditioning and at worst, trauma-based mind control. First, we probably should define terms. I'm going to use an anecdotal terminology or definition. What does one mean when using the expression trauma-based conditioning or trauma-based mind control, or perhaps more accurately, I would say trauma-based behavior control? In simple terms, I would define it as propagandizing people through a variety of means and techniques to remain in a constant state of fear and or anxiety-based trauma in order to keep them in a perpetual state of fight or flight, you know, with the cortisol just coursing through their body constantly, and thereby unable and incapable of seeing or addressing anything beyond. I guess we're on a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. I mean, in essence, what's happening, there's a, speaking of convergence theory and syncretism, there is a coalescing of forces and ideological bents. It's, I would say, it's like ecumenism applied to every area of life. And I think the ultimate sort of illustration of it is the normalizing of the ultimate trauma-based conditioning, that being sexualized in nature. It's kind of the normalizing of the Epstein stuff. And I've been saying that. Other people, I'm sure, have been saying it too for a while. Part of this is part of the dialectical method. This is part of prostrating oneself at the foot of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil, and you move in dialectical fashion on the spectrum from A to Z, or from pure and naive to Genesis 6:5, where the Bible says of man that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So now we're normalizing the Epstein stuff. How do I know? Because some people think that, for example, Bill Gates is a hero and a saint even, when he's been caught lying about just about everything. You know, there was the antitrust stuff. He was dishonest and misleading, coached by his father, a high-profile, high-powered lawyer, and lied about the Epstein stuff repeatedly, lied about COVID. Obviously, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was a sponsor of Event 201, among many other things. And there was all of the planning that went on behind the scenes. Gavi and Seppi and all of these other things that he created single-handedly, the IHME and Chris Murray, all of this infrastructure that he created single-handedly is now the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is now the single largest donor to the World Health Organization, even greater than the United States government, when you combine all of these organizations that Bill Gates himself has created, Gates Foundation, Gavi, CEPI, etc., hundreds of millions of dollars. Why? And he's lied about it. He lied in, April, I want to say, of 2020, saying, now we get here and we didn't plan for this. We didn't see this coming. And that's a bald-faced lie. And people who can make the monumental leap over the Jeffrey Epstein deal when Bill Gates befriended Epstein for what, a few million dollars? You're gonna gamble your reputation on that? This guy, after Epstein had been convicted, and fly on his plane and lie about it repeatedly? If you can make the monumental leap over that, how do you overcome Rick Allen Jones? This is where we are. It's trauma. And trauma leaves an imprint, and it has an effect. So again, how would I define trauma? And trauma-based conditioning, or more accurately, trauma-based behavior control. In simple terms, I would define it as propagandizing people through a variety of means and techniques to remain in a constant state of fear and or anxiety-based trauma in order to keep them in a perpetual state of fight or flight, and thereby unable or and incapable of seeing or addressing anything beyond the immediacy of the focus of trauma, and particularly unable to parse complex issues, for example, like domestic and foreign policy or political affairs. So what is trauma? Maybe we should get a little, the pedestrian explainer, perhaps. And there are examples of this. Desmond Napolis, the 11-year-old who... the drag kid? That's an example, who was featured in 2018 on Good Morning America and came to... How did this child become a social media sensation back in 2015? When he was 8 years old at a New York City so-called Pride March wearing a pink tutu. Why? The proper response to this kind of thing is not to cheer and celebrate. It's what Ron DeSantis said, that CPS would be dispatched on parents who take kids to drag shows or strip clubs. Stick around. We'll be right back. Public Broadcasting Network. Visit our website,
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back. All right, let's investigate this trauma thing a little bit, shall we? And dive down the rabbit hole. What do we mean by trauma? So I would say trauma-based behavior control, not necessarily mind control, because kind of where the head goes, the body goes. So behavior control. I think this has a lot to do with why people can't concentrate, and again, can't, particularly unable to parse complex issues or to hold a consistent thought, and why we end up then with what Orwell referred to as, you know, just the ever persistent present. There is no past, no future, just the present. History has gone away. Why? Because there's just trauma and fight or flight, whether people recognize it or not. And the cognitive dissonance, the thoughts that are irreconcilable, which again, as you dive down that rabbit hole and you look, for example, at the concept of the Bateson double bind. Double bind theory was first described by Gregory Bateson and his colleagues in the 1950s in a theory on the origins of schizophrenia and post-traumatic stress disorder. But you have guys like Dr. Bessel van der Kolk who make the distinction between PTSD and trauma, and we'll get into that. And children are being traumatized by parents. How can you say that? Well, we'll get to that too. Giving them a device, even with the seemingly most harmless and innocuous stuff, it ends up damaging their brains. Dimitri Christakis told us years ago. Anyway, without getting ahead, what is trauma and how to cope with it? How to cope with it will set aside. You know, the psychologists and the psychoanalysts, they're too wrapped up in the plague to understand how to cope with anything, I think. The more you stare into the abyss, the darker that it gets. So that's not a good idea. I think, personally, I would say pick up a copy of the Bible. Start with the secret decoder ring, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then pray from there. Maybe, you know, put on the full armor of God and go from there. So here is the video, School of Life video, published December 2nd, 2020. What is trauma and how to cope with it? Go ahead, please.
What is trauma? A trauma is not merely a terrible event, though it is very much that too. It is a terrible event that has not been adequately processed, understood, and unpicked, and that has, through neglect, been able to cast a very long and undeserved shadow over huge areas of experience. The concept of trauma was first observed in military contexts. Let us imagine that in bed one night, in a country torn apart by civil war, we hear a car alarm, followed a few seconds later by a huge explosion. Our neighborhood is destroyed, and several members of our family are killed. We are devastated, but under pressure to continue with our lives, are unable to reflect adequately or properly to mourn what has happened. We are forced to move on from a dreadful experience with fateful haste and a lack of emotional assimilation. And yet the unattended memory of bloodshed, chaos, and loss doesn't disappear. Instead, it curdles into an unknown interior presence we call trauma, which means that in the years and decades ahead, even in the most peaceful circumstances, whenever we hear a car alarm, or indeed any high-pitched sound, that of an elevator's ping, for example, we are mysteriously, for reasons we don't really understand, thrown back into our original panic, as if 1,000 tons of TNT were about to explode once again. However appalling this can be, psychologists have learnt that trauma can as easily be acquired in ostensibly peaceful circumstances. We don't need to have been through a war to be traumatized in multiple ways. Imagine a 6-year-old child who makes an error in a maths exam and takes the news home. Suddenly her father, who drinks too much and might be battling depression and paranoia, flies into a rage, shouts at her, smashes a household object and slams multiple doors. From the perspective of a six-year-old, it feels like the world is ending. There is no way to make sense of the moment, beyond taking responsibility for it, and as a result, feeling like a terrible human being. And from this, a trauma develops. This one centered around making mistakes. Every slip-up on this person's part threatens to unleash an explosion in others. Far into adulthood, every time there is a risk of an error, there is a terror that someone else will get dementedly furious. Everyone becomes terrifying because one person in particular who was spine-chilling hasn't been thought about and reckoned with in memory. The solution in all such cases is to get a better sense of the specific incidents in the past that have generated difficulties in order to unhook the mind from its expectations. The clue that we are dealing with a trauma rather than any sort of justified fear lies in the scale and intensity of feelings that descend in conditions when there is no objective rationale for them. It's peacetime, a colleague is kind, and yet still there is terror, still there is self-disgust, still there is shame. We know then that we are not dealing with silliness or madness, or indeed genuine danger, but with an unprocessed incident from the past, casting a debilitating shadow on a more innocent present. As traumatized people, the memory of the founding incident is within us, but our conscious minds swerve away from the possibility of engaging with it and neutralizing it through rational examination. When we can finally feel comfortable and safe enough to dare look back, we'll be able to see the traumatizing moment for what it was, outside of our original panic and our youthful or illogical conclusions, that it was our fault, that we did something wrong, that we are sinful. Liberating ourselves will mean understanding the specific, local, and relatively unique features of what has traumatized us, and then growing aware of how our minds have multiplied and universalized the difficulty, in part to protect us from an encounter which was once too difficult to grapple with. We will realize that it was one bomb that exploded and destroyed the neighborhood, and that however dreadful this might have been, there is no reason for all high-pitched noises to terrify us. Similarly, it was one father who screamed at us for making a mistake when we were tiny, yet not everyone who is in authority threatens to annihilate us in adulthood. Countless situations will be frightening so long as individual incidents have not been understood and thought through with kindness and imagination. By properly gripping an original event in the claws of our rational adult mind and stripping it of its mystery, we will be able to repatriate fearful emotions and render the world less unnerving than it presently seems. Life as a whole won't have to be so terrifying.
We can stop there. So you can see that you kind of have to sift through it, obviously. We'll be able to see the traumatizing moment for what it was outside of our original panic and our youthful or illogical conclusions that it was our fault that we did something wrong, that we are sinful, liberating ourselves. Oh, so we're not sin. See, that's kind of interesting. Anyway, you listen to that, and I think if you listen to the first 90 seconds in particular and think 9/11 or even COVID-19, you know, the invisible enemy. And this thing happens, you know, concept of trauma first observed in military contexts. That's also interesting because the scenario is exactly what was described in the externalization of the hierarchy, you know, the received work channeled by Alice Bailey. You know, all of this loud noise and this trauma is supposed to have a particular effect. But, you know, think about children. People talked over the weekend about how since we have a generation, you know, there are kids now growing up who obviously did not live through this, September 11, 2001. And what are they learning? What are they hearing? And there is there's pretty much the gamut of discussion you know, some parents are saying some things, some schools are saying things, some schools are saying nothing. But every year, it's undeniable that we're reminded categorically to never forget. Never forget what? You know, we get the establishment narrative, which is trauma inducing or reinforcing. The invisible enemy came and attacked you and you couldn't do anything about it. You were powerless. You were helpless. Many people died, which is terrifying, especially to young children. And that's the message that we get. And it's interesting how pervasive this is. I commented, somebody posted a video on Sunday, one of the most horrific images burned into our collective minds. For those of us alive then, we will never forget what we were doing. After this, every aspect of our lives and who we are as people changed. And that is evidence of trauma. So I commented, funny how we're encouraged to never forget the trauma-based mind control inducing and furthering aspects of that day, but not others like some of the things I mentioned yesterday. And somebody commented and said, oh, there's so many issues with your post of alleged facts. Alleged facts. First of all, I didn't call these facts, but, you know, aspects. Like Building 7. You claim Building 7 wasn't hit by anything. Try a bit of research. I don't even know what that means. UBL being a CIA asset? I'm guessing you have not the foggiest notion of history. Again, what does that mean? What does that mean? So Rosie O'Donnell is now a physicist and a demolition expert. No, Rosie O'Donnell is a person with common sense who can see that throughout all recorded history, buildings have never fallen into their footprint unless they were helped to do so. It's not an airplane. You know, it's basically a controlled demolition or maybe something different. You know, I mean, there's the discussion of the other things, but at minimum, it's a controlled demolition. We've seen that in history. What does that look like? It looks like something that, you know, controlled demolition looks like. Buildings that get hit by something or whatever, they don't collapse into their exact footprint. That doesn't happen. So, no, Rosie O'Donnell is not a physics or demolition expert. She's a person with common sense who can look around and see, that doesn't look like this. It looks like that. And this person says, what if Rand was prepping for the U.S. Army to handle Homeland Security? The point was there was no such thing as Homeland Security, and the term was anathema up to that point. We didn't say homeland. America was not the homeland. That was something that we heard and we thought of in reference to Nazi Germany, the Heimatland. It was a pejorative. And so that, perhaps notwithstanding, don't you think it's kind of an odd coincidence that just a few months before this catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor, which the Project for a New American Century called for, you know, progress is apt to be slow, barring some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. What a strange coincidence. We get this catastrophic and catalyzing event, and then the plans that Rand Corporation had laid out get put into motion weeks after this event. What a strange, is that not an odd coincidence? So this person writes, Rand is a think tank and prepares many the corporations for risks outside the box and how to prepare for them. Rand has been doing this since 1948. I know. And there are a lot of foreshadowings that turn into reality that maybe we should question. It's kind of the point. So this, I think, is evidence of trauma. This person is these things that are said in rebuttal are incoherent. and baseless and seem to be evidence of the mindset that would seek to embrace one's kidnapper. I'm going to hug my kidnapper and tell the world my kidnapper is fantastic, so hopefully my kidnapper goes after all of you instead of me. It's a form of self-preservation and evidence of cognitive dissonance. Schizophrenia, psychosis, these remarks do not comport with reality. They may border on an establishment narrative, but they don't comport with reality. There is no fact-based rebuttal of anything. You know, the fact is the Project for an American Century did, and if we're gonna dispute facts, PNAC did publish Rebuilding America's Defenses in September 2000. RAND Corporation did publish Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security in April of 2000. Bill Cooper did foreshadow September 11, 2001 in June of 2001 when he said they're going to try to blame something on this guy. Don't you believe it? Frank DeMartini did tell us that what we were told happened was not possible. He told us that in January of 2001. J. Michael Springman did tell us about the CIA's Visas for Terrorists program. Those things did happen. And there's so much more. I mentioned some of this yesterday, but, you know, Henry Kissinger recusing himself because of bin Laden clientele, Sibel Edmonds revelations, the Bush family bin Laden connections. There's so much more. You know? Things that have gone down the memory hole. Joe Wilson never found any yellow cake. And his wife, Valerie Plame, CIA agent Valerie Plame, was exposed as a result of Wilson's reluctance to toe the line. That's a fact of history. Go find some yellow cake. Weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction. Does this person who made these comments, speaking of try a bit of research, are you familiar with the Office of Special Plans, the OSP, or the Iranian Directorate? Do you know what stovepiping intelligence is? Cherry-picking intelligence to bolster a narrative? The Office of Special Plans was literally created to bolster the weapons of mass destruction narrative. Joe Wilson debunked it. No yellow cake. There were no weapons of mass destruction, not that were not planted anyway. We heard weapons of mass destruction lie more than 1,000 times. All as a result of the stovepiping of intelligence to foment a narrative and bolster a narrative. The Iranian Directorate served the same purpose. Afghanistan had nothing to do with September 11, 2001, other than the Western intelligence apparatus using it as a hotbed training ground. But John Judge warned of the pre-planned invasion anyway. Prior to the invasion, the Taliban had almost ended opium production in Afghanistan, even declaring it un-Islamic. That's a fact of history. Opium production skyrocketed thousands of percent. What was it, 3,000 or 4,000% after the invasion? Why is that? Who was responsible for that and why? 2004, Karzai rejected an international proposal to end poppy production in Afghanistan. Why? Who was Karzai? You go to Hamid Karzai's Wikipedia entry and let's see. Wikipedia. See if it's still there today. President and chairman of a transitional administration. Karzai had been, this is Wikipedia today. Karzai had been a U.S. CIA contact and was well regarded by the CIA. Oh. After the October 7, 2001, launch of Operation Enduring Freedom. October 7, 2001. Less than a month after September 11, 2001. Why? The United Front Northern Alliance worked with teams of U.S. Special Forces, and together they overthrew the Taliban regime. Wait, they overthrew the Taliban regime and mustered support for a new government in Afghanistan. Huh, that sounds, if I didn't know better, that sounds like a CIA regime change operation just published right out in plain sight. Karzai and his group were in Quetta, where they began a covert operation. Huh, that's on Wikipedia. And sourced. Time magazine article. Later, many would claim that at this moment, the U.S. decided that Karzai should be the next leader of Afghanistan. Or maybe it was already decided. Before entering Afghanistan, he warned his fighters. We might be captured. The moment we enter Afghanistan and be killed, we have 60% chance of death, 40% chance of to live and survive. Winning was no consideration. We could not even think of that. We got on two motorbikes. We drove into Afghanistan. How courageous. What a great soundbite. So from Wikipedia, Karzai was a well-regarded CIA contact who in 2000-2001 warned the U.S. about an imminent attack on the United States and who was later installed into power. That's literally what it says on Wikipedia. After, this is further down in the same section, after Karzai was installed into power, his actual authority outside the capital city of Kabul was said to be so limited that he was often derided as the mayor of Kabul. Installed into power as a customary CIA puppet leader. That's, again, literally from the Wikipedia entry. There's, you know, so many historians, credentialed historians, have written about this. You know, if you're not familiar, speaking of some research, try a bit of research. William Bloom, Peter Dale Scott, James Perloff, Chris Bolin, New York Times. Here are some New York Times articles just for this person and others who suffer from the trauma-induced cognitive dissonance. CIA cash. This is New York Times. March 14, 2015, CIA cash ended up in coffers of Al-Qaeda. April 29, 2013, Afghan leader, that's Karzai, Afghan leader confirms cash deliveries by CIA. May 4, 2013, Karzai says he was assured CIA would continue delivering bags of cash. Huh. Isn't that funny? But I guess these things never happened, right? And, you know, now we have the story that I mentioned yesterday that, what do you know, contractors, that has not been good. All of those $14 trillion, more than half of it may have just kind of vanished. Oops. Oopsie. Up to half of the $14 trillion spent by the Pentagon since 9/11 went to for-profit defense contractors. And a lot of that evaporated into thin air with no paper trail. Oops. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
Essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization. Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.